I have a couple of readings, but the first one I want to read is in Luke chapter 23. Luke and chapter 23, we'll read of the Lord Jesus Christ there on the cross. In Luke 23, the cost of our salvation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ there on the cross. So we'll read from Luke chapter 23 and verse 39. We'll read from verse 38. It says, "And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.' And one of the malefactors or criminals which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Dost thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "but this man hath done nothing amiss or nothing wrong.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.' And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil in the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." And in verse 47, the centurion says, he says, "Certainly he glorified God. He saw what was done, and he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.'" Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a righteous man. He saw God's son there. We read of him dying there on the cross. So now can you turn with me to another portion of scripture in Romans and chapter 5. Romans and chapter 5. And it'll explain there more about the cross and for who it was for. Romans 5 and verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure or perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die." But here's a contrast. "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I have a few things that I want to point out. The reason why I read the first verse is the first few verses there in the Gospel of Luke is because to show us of a situation of two men there, the two different responses to the cross, the two different responses to Christ of the two men, and how the one that was utterly apart from works, there was nothing that he could do to get closer to God by the state that he was in. All he could do was look to Christ and look to Christ in faith and asking him for mercy. And the Lord Jesus is the one that did not turn him away. And so I want to speak to that tonight, firstly, of the state that each one of us are in from these verses. First, I want to speak about how we are ungodly. Because the good news is for people who are, is not for good people, the good news. The reason that this gospel is for people that are not good. It is for people, and for each one of us are found in the same state tonight. We're all born of the same stuff. We're all born in sin, the Bible says, and shapen in iniquity. So we are ungodly, which is, you might say, what does that mean, being ungodly? Well, how is God like? Well, we are not like God. We are unlike God. So however God is, we are not like him. And we know the scripture teaches that God is holy. He is holy. And what are we? We as men are unholy. And it doesn't take much to see. We know that the scripture itself tells us, this is God's word. This is not me saying, this is not subjective by me feeling a certain way or something. This is God's word, and he has said that we are all under sin. For we have proved before, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Each one of us are under sin. We're born in sin. And then the Bible says that there is none righteous. See, God is righteous, and we are unrighteous. We are not like God because we are not righteous. God is a righteous God, a righteous standard, and he never changes his standard. He is always right. God does righteous things. He is full of righteousness, and we are not righteous. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. So you might say the religious people who try to attain to righteousness, they try and measure up to God's righteousness by the things that they do, that the Bible says that there is none righteous. God says, looks down and says, there's not one righteous person. You might say, well, what about good people? And it's interesting, in our verse, we read that scarcely for a righteous man will one die. And yet the Bible says there is none righteous in God's eyes. When we look up to God, God looks down, and he says, there is not one that is righteous. You might say, but the next verse says, and perhaps, maybe, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But yet, in Romans chapter 3 again, it says, there is none good, no, not one. There's none that does good, no, not one. It is tainted by who we are. It is tainted by who we are. And who are we? Is the Bible says that we are born in sin. So when I was born, Derek was born, my mom had me in the womb. I was a sinner. And when I came out, it didn't take long to manifest itself because of the corrupt nature of what I was made of. I came through Adam, as each one of us. Think back to the Garden of Eden and how God said, of all the trees of the garden, you may freely eat. You may freely eat of every tree, but of that one tree in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat of it. And the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. You will surely, surely die. That is God's word. But what did man do? Man, in disobedience, Satan came and tempted them, and they took of that one bite of the fruit, and they realized that they were sinners. They realized that they were naked. And immediately right there, the relationship that God had with man, walking together with men, was severed, cut in the middle. And it says, you have been separated from you and your God. We've been separated. So we think of our state that we are. We're separated from God because of Adam's sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. By one man, by Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So each one of us, it is because of the nature that we are, because of our very nature that we die. But it's also because our nature produces sin. And we have all before God been guilty of sin. And that's where God's law comes to us. God's law tells us. It shows us how unlike God we are, how ungodly we are. It's because God comes and shows us who he is and what he hates. And God's law says, you shall not lie. And what have we done? We have lied. We can say before God, yes, you're right, I have lied. And then it says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And we can see God's law comes to us, and it brings a curse upon us. The Bible says, cursed is every man that does not continue in all things that are written in the law to do them. And we have all broken God's law. The scripture has concluded all under sin, the Bible says. So we are ungodly. But then we are also without strength. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves better with God. Our very state, because we are corrupt, yet there is nothing that we can do. We think of the verse there in Isaiah. It says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses is as filthy rags. So it's like coming before God with a filthy rag and saying, here, God, is all my good deeds. And God says, I want none of it. It's as filthy rag. You know what it says in Job? How can an unclean thing, how can a clean thing come out of an unclean? And that's what God sees when he looks at us. Man, humanity, each one of us is under sin. And we've all sinned. And you might say, how awful is sin? How awful is it really? Is there any way in which we have seen it? Well, we have seen it by death and what it brings to humanity. People die. But then we see it three different ways, how awful sin is. We look at the deluge of suffering that this world has experienced in all sorts of ways because of sin. It is the suffering. We see how awful it is by the effects in what we see it has done to this whole planet, to the human race. Utterly, you can see the manifestation of sin and what it has done and the consequences of it. But then there's another way in which you see it, the awfulness of it. You can see it in the cross of Christ. You can see how awful sin is, as we will read further, and what God thinks of sin and what the cost of sin is. It is the death of God's Son, of his perfect Son, and the suffering of the cross. But then you also read of another thing. How do we estimate the suffering, the awfulness of sin? We estimate it also by the eternal judgment of God upon a sinner. This is how we estimate the consequences of sin and how awful sin really is. It doesn't just end when a person goes into the grave and we see the casket lying there and being lowered and out of our sight. And we only have a memory. No, it's not only that. That person is now going to be under the judgment of God if they're not saved. They're going to be, because of their sin, God's judgment is, one day the books will be opened. That's the consequences of sin. And they'll all stand before God, and the books will be opened. And God's going to look through it and see. And your names are not found written in the book of life. It says they will be cast into hell in a lake of fire, into a lake of fire forever and ever. May this sink into our hearts of where we are going if you're not saved. And you think the Lord Jesus didn't know this when he was here. He said, he speaks he knew. He came and told us of death. The Lord Jesus knows what it's like. God knows what hell is like. God knows, he made it for the devil and his angels. He knows the consequences of it. And God has mercy upon the sinner. God loves the sinner. God says, you have sinned, and you've done awful. Your sin is so bad. It is so bad. It is going to be eternal separation from me and being judged eternally. And you think God's heart does not go out to that? Yes, it does. And what has God done? We think of this verse there in Romans chapter 5. And we read there that though you are without strength, we can't do anything. Like the thief on the cross. The thief next to the Lord Jesus. He is hanging there at the end of his life. At the end of his ropes, there's nothing that he can do to please God. He is a criminal. He can't offer anything to God, anything of his own goodness. So he looks to the Lord Jesus and he recognizes who he is. He recognizes the King. And he recognizes that this man can remember him. He is a man that has strength. He's a man that can save him. And he says, Lord, remember me. He turns to the Lord Jesus. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what is the response of the Lord Jesus? Did the Lord Jesus turn him away and say, you are not worthy? You are, as it were, you're scum. How dare you ask to be remembered? No, the Lord Jesus turns to him and he says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's in paradise. That is God's heart. He wants the sinner who is a sinner, who is estranged from God, who is separated from God. He wants him near. He wants him next to him, with him. He wants that relationship restored, and he has done it, and he made a provision for it in the verse that we have read there in Romans chapter 5. For when we were without strength, just like this man, without strength, in due time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So the Lord Jesus is the answer. he comes in, and you might say, where's my hope? I can't do anything. I can't do nothing. Well, you can do something. You can look to Christ. You can look to him. He is God's answer. He is able to meet the full need that you have as a sinner. He is the remedy. He is the full remedy. He can completely put away your sin. And he died in your stead. You know what the Bible scripture says? In language says, though we were under a curse, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So he stepped into our place before God. You were condemned before God, unable to produce anything good. You're utterly condemned before God. You can't do anything. And God sends his son. And you're to be punished. You're to be punished. But God sends his son. And he says, I'll give him for you. That's what the cross is. It is eternity. Who's God going to spare? It says, the Bible says, here's you with all of your sin. And here's God with all of his holiness. The Lord Jesus Christ, who never sinned. The Bible says he did no sin. Look at the scale. Look at the scale. It tips a huge weight to one side. Christ is so righteous. Everything, he is righteous. The Bible says he is righteous. He is God. He is like God because he is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. So God sends forth his son. He is going to be the remedy. How does he live? He lives a life that is so wholly perfect. He is a perfect man. He is not just innocent like Adam was. He is completely holy. He is a holy God who could not sin, and he did not sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He knew no sin, the Bible says. In him is no sin. He is holy, harmless. He's a harmless man. Never could never hurt anyone. Harmless, undefiled. Never was defiled by humans touching him or by things. There's nothing in him that would be tempted to sin because he was holy God and holy man at the same time. And yet, so here's the scale. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He's unique. He's completely separate from sinners. He is God's holy son. At the end of his life, God could say, at the beginning of his life, God could say, beginning of his public ministry, God could say, I am well pleased in him. I'm so well pleased. I love him. I love my son. And yet here we are with all of our sin, with all of our weight of guilt. And you might say, who will God spare? Who is he going to spare? His precious son whom he loves so much, or guilty sinners who are condemned to go to hell forever, which is where we deserve to be because God says it and God is righteous. That is the right view, is we deserve it because of what we have done. Like we said earlier, we've broken all his commandments. But God, the Lord Jesus, takes our place. God does not spare his... The Bible says, who spared not his own son. He did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. God, get this tonight. He delivered him up for you. I mean, such love is only divine. Is, like we said earlier, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus loves us. He didn't need anything from us. He got all his pleasure from the Son of God, from his own beloved Son. And it says, who without spot, he offered himself without spot to God. He offered himself in your stead. So now God can look at you, and God can give you his righteousness. And give you his righteousness. The Lord Jesus took your fine, your penalty. So that's the gospel, is what God has done. And you can walk away out here, you can say, you know what? Like me, I can say, over my life, over my name can be stamped, Christ died. Christ died. God says it. I believe it. That man there, that the Lord Jesus says, today you shall be with me in paradise. That man, what did he have to go on? Nothing apart from the word of Christ. The word of God is enough. You can stamp your whole life and everything on God's word. It is Christ died for the ungodly. If you died for the ungodly, I am ungodly. Christ died for me. And you can say tonight, you can walk out here, over your name is written, yes, Derek Hofer, sinner. But that's crossed out. It says Christ died. And that it can be your portion tonight. It's a risen Christ. He gives you all authority. It's his word. He says, God is beseeching you. He is begging you through us, through Christ, be reconciled to God. Because God knows what end is yours if you reject Christ. He knows God is satisfied. God is completely resting on the word, on what Christ has done on the cross. God is resting there. God is satisfied. And if you trust in him, you can trust in him tonight and he can be fully yours. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you and he wants to save you. May God bless you with salvation. As our brother Tim comes up, and may you have it tonight and know it for certain.